God in truth. We are a little bit different programmed here today, as you noticed already. We are very, very blessed to be able to have enough of the equipment to where we can change locations like we've done today. I'm just a little bit saddened that somehow over the past 20 some years that we can't get this music to play better. I don't know why. I think it's the telephone that breaks it up, and why we can't get a better connection to that telephone to where it isn't breaking up like it was. But anyway, I do apologize to you for that, but there's nothing we can do. It sounds like the talking comes through fine, but the music, is, like I said, it's still something to be praying about and thinking about, and one day we'll hopefully get it corrected and find an answer to that. Well, on the announcements here today, I want to mention here, I did receive an email from Mr. Fleming yesterday. He said that his surgery went well and that he is home and must rest and do nothing strenuous. And I could understand that by the operation that he had of a hernia, correction that he needed being done. And so we were glad to hear that from him. And then just before services started here, we noticed he sent us another email. And I won't read the whole thing to you, but just a few things here that he said. He said, just an update. I'm still in good deal of pain today, but able to move about some right now. And I'm very tired and very sleepy. Well, going through a situation like he did, being operated on yesterday, and then immediately returning back home, I could understand that very clearly. But anyway, he said that it may take a couple of days for everything to start working right again. So I know with those things said that you can see that he is asking you for your prayers as well as thanking you very, very much for your prayers already. But if you'd continue praying for him, I know that he would appreciate that very, very much. And we know that God is the healer, and now he's asking for a very quick healing for that for him. And he will be back strong and healthy and be able to get back to work as I know he wants to be. One other announcement here on the health situation here is Romeo Samudio, that is of the Philippines. As you know, we've been corresponding now with them because the feast coming up, and so it makes us be able to talk back and forth a little bit more. But anyway, he is having some prayers, or needs our prayers. He's having some eye problems. He's been having this trouble with all of that this whole last week. And so he's having a hard time responding back to us because he has to use the computer he is to do that. And so he's asking prayers from us as well as thanking you for that as well. So I want to make sure that you have that on the prayer, in your prayer list for him. Romeo Samudio, as you know, is the one that is in charge and represents the Church of God and Truth over there in the Philippines. And I know it's difficult for them to get together for the feast because they are scattered, not just on a main island like we are here in the United States of one piece of land, but they are scattered from different islands, and it makes it very difficult on a weekly basis to travel by boat or plane to get to the other islands and come together. So they are truly looking forward to the feast, just as we should be here in the United States, but it's an opportunity for them to get together here at the feast. So we're going to pray for them that everything works well for them, and I'm glad to be able to communicate with them. Well, speaking of the feast, the first day of trumpets is right here on September the 9th. It's not that far away, just 2 weeks away. And that means that the Feast of Tabernacle is only 4 weeks away. I try to bring those two together, and I know that between those is a Day of Atonement, a day that we know that we are to come before God fasting, and so it's a blessing to be able to have the plan that God gives us to clean out our selves, and that is one way of doing it. And sometimes we're so stubborn we don't do it through the year, and so he's seen to it that if you want this human body, we our housing to work right, and we need to flush it out once in a while. And so it's a blessing to be able to have that day there in between the Day of Trumpets and the Feast of Tabernacles. Oh, also I want to mention here, talking about the feast, we would like to know if you did not receive the daily feast schedule. That is for the fall holy days and for the Feast of Tabernacle services, because that will give you the times that we're planning on meeting together and be on the phone and on the internet. And a couple of days there that we won't be on the phone or internet, you will be notified by that that you're reading, because I have it blanked off. And so here we play a CD or DVD or something like that here, usually for the feast at that time. And so anyway, you're aware that the schedule is there, and it'll be sent to you who are getting it by mail, probably just receive it Monday or Tuesday. And those who are on the internet have already got it. They get it the day we immediately send it. So anyway, keep that in mind, that if you haven't got it and don't get it by next Friday, let us know and we will get it one into your hands. Okay, well, that kind of finishes off me here with the announcements that I had and have. So I would like for all of you to be sure to mute your phones. It sounds like you have. I don't hear any noise. So I take it that everybody has exactly done that, and so I appreciate you doing that. It's something hard to remember, but we can all do that. And so we work together as a team on that and forgive one another when we don't. Okay, with that, I'm going to have the sermon. It's been assigned to me today to take care of that part of the business here. And so I will get my Bible out here and get my notes out here. And we'll come together here on this day on God's blessing Sabbath that he's given us. And let me get wired up here so I can get connected to the rest of everybody. And that's why we've got connected now to the recording, so we can record the sermons as we try to do every Sabbath. And it is a blessing to be able to have that opportunity to be able to speak. I know me, Mr. Martinez, and Mr. Fleming truly is a blessing to have their help, helping me with the sermons, because it's not something that you can throw together just overnight. It's something that takes time. And so, as you know, it's usually about every third week one of us are speaking, and one of them are speaking, or I'm speaking. And so it just takes a blessing from God to have His Holy Spirit, as we all ask for that Spirit of His working within us to be able to get the corresponding words that He gives us to live by into your ears and into our own. And so with that, we're very, very, very blessed. Well, when Jesus the Christ neared the completion of the work that God the Father had given Him to do, He focused on what led immediately ahead. As God's ambassadors, as we've been called that several times in sermons that I know that I've given anyway, I think that we need to take heed to what I just said. You know, those of us called at this time have the extraordinary blessings of understanding that the ongoing work that the church for this age will soon culminate, and that is with the return of Jesus the Christ. That the return will be ushered in against a backdrop of most terrifying, turbulent times in all of human history. We know that we are not just sure when this tribulation is going to start, and it's kind of hard noticing that something is going on strange right now. In these last few days, things have seemingly picked up in the last few months, I should say, with all the earthquakes and the fires and the this rumbling in the governments and all these things. It's nothing new to me just saying this, but you know what I'm saying, because I'm sure you've been reading the news and keeping up with that as we have been trying to hear. But things are starting to happen. So I'm not just sure if we're kind of in the between time of the tribulation and the buildup that everything is going to be so great, and then all of a sudden the tribulation is God disguises like a woman that's getting ready to have a child. And so that pain is obviously going to be great, and we need to be preparing ourselves in whatever fashion we're going to be in God's team, or we're going to be in the world's team, Satan's team. So this is what we're going to be talking about a little bit here today, because we want to be on God's team. You know, it is for that reason that we must cling to having great hope for God's rule of peace and focus on God's clear admonition and instructions that we have been given from His Word. That's why His words are living words. They're not stagnant. They're not still. They're not sitting back in time. No, they're keeping us up to date. And that's why we need to keep, especially books of Revelation and Daniel and so forth like that, knowing and reading Matthew and the others that talk about this is the beginning of sorrows. So we've already seen a lot of those beginning of sorrows, and now what stage we're in, this is what I'm saying here to us today. We need to make sure that we're on the right track and in the right category that we're supposed to be in, and that is from following God's Word. But some of these things we need to be reminded of on a regular basis, I think. I feel that way, that they are things we must not turn away from, knowing that some have wandered from the truth, and they have been unwilling to truly heed the resolute and unchanging teachings from God. But nonetheless, we are in complete the job that God has given to us. You know, we have been called and entrusted with the truth of God. Extremely important. We have been entrusted with the truth of God. And to do that, we are not to be adding to or taking away from God, taking away from His Word, the instructions He's giving us. You know, this is the truth that has set us free. You know, you might notice here that Christ in His testimony in John 8 and verse 32, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. That's an encouraging words to all of us, but it's also an order for us to be able to keep in tune with God and not let our closeness with Him slip away. But proclaiming this truth was a part of the work that given to our liberator, leader, and Savior Jesus the Christ. You know, truth is a word frequently used in the book of John. In this basic meaning, truth is that which corresponds to fact. So it's something that we need to be aware of the meaning of that when we mention that word truth. You know, many truths concerning the religion of God has been obscured by the myths and inventions of the Jews. Or we could say of Judaism. Either way you want to present it or say it. But the Jews did not know the truth. They were in the bondage of ignorance, and which they are still, law of their own making, exactly what they're still doing. You know, error, sin, superstitions, all those things are what the Judaism is still practicing and teaching. It's not coming out of God's Word. And so that's why we want to use God's Word as our guide and as our direction in this life that you and I are leading. You know, words like John 8:32 were not well received by those self-righteous religious Pharisaical leaders in Christ's day. You know, in fact, they eventually were so inflamed by those who heard them had Jesus Christ rejected and murdered. Many people in the Church of God don't want to accept that. Even they are fighting that, to believe what the Bible tells them. It's very clear what Scripture says on that. Well, what they did, that they did not understand, was that Jesus Christ fully understood the importance of the work He was completing, as we just opened the sermon here with. Do we, that question to you and me, do we fully understand the importance of the work He left us to complete? Do we fully understand and the importance of the work He left us to complete? Well, the work He left us and all the churches of God today is found in Matthew 24, verse 14. The gospel of this kingdom, God's government, will be preached unto all the world as a witness unto all nations. That puts a responsibility on every one of us, not just certain people, but the ones that have been called, the ones that are coming together on God's Sabbath and doing the study they need to be doing throughout the week in God's Word, gleaning the truth, the way of life that He wants to lead us, guide us so we have an abundance of life. But we understand this to mean that the churches of God has been given a job to do and to complete, a task for which we are accountable to God for. If you read with me here what Christ said to his Father at the end of his life here in John 17 and verse 4. We're going to be looking at a few scriptures here in John as we march through these, so you might want to just mark them down instead of having to turn through them as we go through them. But here in John 17 and in verse 4, it says, "I have glorified you on the earth. I have finished the work which you have given me to do." Those are words spoken to his Father and our Father in heaven. You know, after his resurrection, listen to what he said to the disciples here in John 20 and verse 21. "As the Father has sent me, I also send you." That's in John 20 and verse 21. So before his physical death, what did he promise his disciples? John 14, 12, we find the what Christ promised. There in John 14 and verse 12, "But most assuredly I say unto you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also, and greater works than these he will do, because I go to the Father." So God has sent us, like those early disciples, to come the instrument of which he would proclaim his true soon coming kingdom and his truth to this world. He gave them that responsibility at that time, the time that he was going to be hung on that stake for us. Well, we know at Pentecost, God established his church and sent the Holy Spirit to empower his disciples with strength and force needed for practicing or preaching good news, his good news, his government, about his truth and ways. Those of us called into God's church at this present time should consider the following words that our Creator founded for us in John 5:36. "But I have gathered witnesses then that of John, for the works which the Father has given me to finish, the same works that I do, bear witness of me that the Father has sent me." That is in John 5 and verse 36. So it is with us that we have been given an ongoing work of Christ. Not to be sitting back on our laurels, not to fall into a Laodicean attitude. You know, our work and our commitment that is to it bears witness of our calling with God's continuous hand in leading his church, which we feel we are. You know, Christ shows us in John 15 how we could evaluate our relationship with him. Here in John 15 and verse 8, it says, "Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, so shall you be my disciples." We are God's disciples. We is our teacher, and we are his students. That's what the Sabbath comes back every week together as a family. Together we learn. You know, the foundation of our role in the body of Christ is for us to be Christ-like Christians, as you want to say it. You know, God's called and converted people are to express the indwelling of his Holy Spirit, which is the power, the force, and employment of the fruits of his Holy Spirit. By this, we can have the very mind, that is the very same strength of character and outlook of our Savior, Jesus Christ. You know, we see evidence of what I just said in two verses. One is found in Philippians 2 and verse 5, and the other is in 1 Peter 4 and verse 1. But reading here, Philippians 2 and verse 5 says, "Let this mind be..." be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. In verses 1 to 4 in this chapter, Apostle Paul represents the need for unity and to have unselfish humility. In other words, be more concerned with the interest of others. Be more involved with the interest of others. The same thought is expressed in 1 Peter 4 and verse 1 that I mentioned a minute ago. For as much then as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh, flesh's arm also likewise with the same mind, for he that has suffered in the flesh has caused or ceased from sin. So we know that those are steps we're to follow as Christ, to cease from sin, cease from laboring Satan's, being a labor for Satan's, and be a labor for Christ. You know, Peter is urging us, God's call to model our lives, both in thought and deed, after the example of Christ, our Lord. I think what we've just barely heard here in the sermon already, that that is strong evidence that we need to be good examples of Christ, our Lord. You know, perfection of character should be our goal. To do this, Paul challenged each one of us in 2 Corinthians 13. In 2 Corinthians 13 and in verse 5. 2 Corinthians 13 and verse 5. Examine yourself, whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know you not that your own selves have that Jesus Christ is in you, except you be reprobates, except you be a failure, a loser, a Laodicean? You know, as we examine and test ourselves, that is between last Pentecost and the Feast of Trumpets just ahead, let us consider what we are doing. The spirit of the encouraging words of God's angel in Revelation 3, we find it revealed to us that we have struggled against compromises. Even though we are a scattered, small, and little group, verse 8 of Revelation 3 says, I know your works. Behold, I've set before you an open door, and no man can shut it. For you have a little strength, and have kept my word, and have not denied my name. I pray that all of us are fitting into that category that I just read, that we're fully doing what God is asking of us. You know, the assembly of the Philippians received only word of praise from from God. Why? Because the saints had been faithful and zealous for God's works. In their own human weakness, they had trusted in the Lord's word, not just Jewish fables. And you know, we talk a lot about Jewish fables here in the Church of God in truth. But as a result, they had been able to preserve the truth by living it out in their lives. They had not denied Christ's name. So the Philadelphian church is a very popular church. And that's why God brings it to us, the attention, that we too need to be in that same example as the Philadelphia church. I don't know why I'm having a hard time spitting that out of my mouth. But therefore, he would set before them an open door of opportunity that no one would be able to shut. Further examination requires us to think of another question that is established in Amos 3 and verse 3 that we all know very, very well. Can two walk together unless they agree? Well, this has meant some really difficult choices each one of us have had to make. That is, as we have encountered these tests and questions both on our own part and from God. because we need to be able to have answers. As God said in His words, we are. We have seen disciples who were the talk of God's called out ones suddenly being scattered and in confusion. We found that when the worldwide Church of God split apart, and it's still not settled down. There's still dust. Some of these churches of God are still trying to be over one another instead of accepting what God has set in motion and accept it and live by what God's Word says. But anyway, however, the book of Acts tells us, as the apostle lives, moved forward in the day of Pentecost, and the empowering of God's Holy Spirit ascending upon them, God gave them a work, a responsibility to do. We've already read scriptures dealing with that. You know, the same Memorial Day of Pentecost empowered the church with God's Holy Spirit to finish the work that God has given them and us to do. You know, recognizing and meditating on these on that responsibility, we cannot become indifferent. You know, Webster defines the word indifferent in several ways. Having a natural or unbiased disposition, not interested in or concerned about something, apathetic, not easily interested or moved. All just said are characterized for lack of action and character. Character that God says we're not to let sit idle, but to keep busy. Busy following His truth, His word. You know, some of them synonyms of the word indifference are unconcerned, aloof, detached, disinterested, unimportant, insignificant, coolness, carelessness, apathy, insensibility, nonchalant. That's enough to chew on. You can get a pretty good definition of what we're talking about here, that being indifferent, and what kind of a big category of meanings that can come out of that one word. But as the Church of God here in truth works trying to help God's called to understand that is His truth and His calendar from His Word, not from an outside source. You know, we are often amazed at some people's colossal disinterest in the truth. Truth of God's weekly Sabbath and His annual Holy Day Sabbaths. You know, they probably will never know the truth at this time. They are locked onto being called a Laodicean remnant church. We've talked about that many times in Revelation 12:17. We know that that church, that Laodicean group, is going to go through a tribulation before they get to wear their white robes that God says He's going to give them. But a lot of trials are going to go before them, before that happens. You know, the Thessalonian church had this indifference toward truth. You know, we read here with me, if you would, Apostle Paul wrote in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 10, it says, with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause God shall send them a strong delusion, that they should believe a lie. And that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. That is a Laodicean. Strong delusion. They are not understanding God's word. They're not having God's Holy Spirit lead them. a book that M. Scott Peck wrote, The Road Less Traveled. On page 50, he says there, truth is avoided when it is painful. We can revise our maps only when we have the discipline to overcome that pain. To have such discipline, we must be totally dedicated to truth. That is to say, we must always hold truth to be more important, more vital to ourselves' interest than our comforts. Conversely, let me change pages here. We must always consider our personal discomfort relatively unimportant, and indeed even to welcome it in the service of the search for truth. End of quote. You know, an independent person that's been called to salvation will not accept any truth that will not be painful to him, because it sets us apart, it sets them apart. You know, even if we know what the inspired Proverbs 23:23 tells us, buy the truth and sell it not, wisdom and understanding, instructions and understanding, very important scripture. That gives us a large thing to be accomplishing and to be doing and to setting our mind on following a verse such as that. You know, you and I know there are indifferences toward any number of spiritual things. Some are indifferent towards keeping God's annual holy days, as we know. Some are indifferent toward keeping God's annual holy days, and once they're told, they still continue doing it. Some are indifferent about studying new truth. You know, many want to continue postponing God's annual holy days, while others are just bored with church and with the whole Sabbath observation, obligation that they've been given, once called. You know, the truth is a treasure to be gained at any cost and never to be relinquished, whatever the temptation. Well, let me refresh our mind with the story I quoted before, and some of you who have been in the church here with us for a few years have heard it given one time in a sermon. The story goes, there was a ship discovered many years ago among the icebergs in the Arctic Ocean, that is, with the captain's body frozen while making his last entry into the logbook. The crew was found, but in their hammocks, some in the cabin, and they were all frozen. The last date in the logbook showed that for 13 years that vessel had been moving along the iceberg, a drifting burial chamber manned by a frozen crew. A frozen crew, absolutely no motion. You know, that's the thought-sobering story for us. To not let indifference cause any of us to drift. Frozen in time, as a Laodicean seems to be. You know, Jesus Christ gave his called two choices. Those two choices are read right here in Revelation 3 and verse 15. I could wish you were cold or hot. I wish you were cold or hot. You know, the Lord wants us to be one way or the other. That is, in other words, he wants us to be zealous and active or be dead, but not somewhere in between. You know, it is the Laodiceans and the indifference who cannot be reached. They think they are fine the way things are. Just stuck, frozen, and unmovable. You know, the Lord told the Laodiceans to repent in Revelation 3:1. And as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. It says there, be zealous, therefore, and repent. That's what he's telling the Laodiceans. Repent was the first words out of Christ's mouth when he began to preach in Matthew 4:17, it tells us. You know, we are living in a time of the greatest gospel revelation in history. There are more preachers, more books, more DVDs, more gospel media saturating than ever before in history on this globe. Yet there is more distress, affliction, and trouble-minded among God's people. You know, it appears that God has begun to wrap up life as we know it. This is what I mentioned earlier in the sermon. Not sure just where we are. Are we starting into the tribulation now? Or have we already been in it maybe for a few months? I don't know. But things aren't looking good. I think it's like I said, it appears that God has begun to wrap life up as we know it. You know, he's accomplishing this by allowing the world to have more problems along with a great magnitude of personal problems, individual problems, and a wave of evil that we have not ever experienced before. You know, consequently, the called of God are being forced to choose sides. The Lord is not letting us be a fence setter anymore, like lukewarmness is no longer being tolerated. And no one is exempt from God's purging. They are not exempt from that. God is going to start moving them, one side or the other. They're not going to be hot or cold if he has to force them to do one way or the other. He's in charge. He's choosing who's going to be the bride of Jesus the Christ. He's choosing who's going to be in the government of God, the gospel of our responsibility of preaching. You know, we're all in the fire together here, but rather than get burned up from indifference, ignorance, apathy, and fear, we should find out how to use this difficult time to our advantage and to grow in godly truth and character. You know, some are indifferent in their concerns for one another. You know, Christ requires a new and higher standard of love. That is according to what we find said in John 13, verses 34 and 35. It says there, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another. As I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this shall all the men know that you are my disciples. You are my students. So you have love one to another. So if we have this genuine love for one another, other things will be taken care of themselves. Love will cover a lot of sins. Apostle Paul expressed over here in Romans 13 and verse 8, owe no man anything but to love another. So Paul is speaking of earnest outgoing concern. For he that loves another has fulfilled the law, fulfilled God's law. The legendary football coach Vince Lombardi was asked one time what it took to make a winning team. Well, here's what he said. There are lots of coaches with good ball clubs who know the fundamentals and have plenty of discipline, but still do not win the game. If you're going to play together as a team, you've got to care for one another. You've got to love each other. Each player has to be thinking about the next guy and saying to himself, if I don't block that man, my partner is going to get his legs broken. I have to do my job well in order that he can do his. The difference between mediocrity and the greatness is the feelings these guys have for each other. Quoted from a book, Leadership, Volume 15, Number 3. As God's faithful, called disciples, let's truly show love and care for one another. Let us take seriously the Lord's new commandment to truly learn to love one another so that we can be a winning team, not an indifferent, lukewarm, Laodicean team. In the book that means messenger, that is Malachi, we are given three thoughtful information here. In Malachi 3, verses 16 to 18, there it says, "And they that feared the Lord spoke often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it, and a book of remembrance was written before him for them that he feared the Lord and that thought upon his name." To do that, take studying God's word. "And they shall be mine, says the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels. And I will spare them as a man spares his own son that serves him. Then shall you return and discern between the righteous and the wicked, between him that serves God and him that serves him not." Not much explanation needs to be said over those verses. I think it's crystal clear the way it is said. There's a mountain school in York, England. There's a boarding school there for teenage girls, and it was started back in the Quakers' day of 1831, according to what I read. The school motto is faithfulness in little things. Well, that is a great model for all of us. You know, Christ stressed this principle in this parable of the talents that he had written out for us in his word. You know, some servants were given more coins than others, but all were expected to invest in them wisely. You know, those who did so proved they could be trusted with more. Well, it reminds all of us of the old adage that says, if you need help getting something done, find the busiest person you know and get them involved. You know, the point is that busy people tend to be productive, efficient, organized, and motivated. You know, it is possible to be too busy, that is, of course, but when God is looking for workers, he doesn't select those sitting around doing nothing, warming the bench, keeping the chair hot. You know, he wants people who are working where they are, blooming where they're planted, faithful in whatever talent he has already given to them, and are dependable in little things. You know, if we will be faithful where we are, the Lord will entrust us with more. In Luke 16 and verse 10, it says, "He who is faithful in what is least is faithful also in much." Luke 16:10. You know, little things are little things, but faithfulness in little things is a great thing. You know, if we were to become lukewarm and independent or indifferent in the very things God designed for us, we would lose our identity as his people. We don't want to do that. You know, being lukewarm and indifferent is easy to recognize because change in action stands out like a sore thumb. John 13 and verse 35 brings that out to us. And we've already covered that. By what will people know we are God's servant? Question that we need to answer. By what will people know we are God's servants? By our flowery words? No, I don't think so. By our good deeds? lots of people do good deeds. No. They will know we are God's servants by seeing Christ's genuine truth, loyalty, love, and compassion in and through our actions. Actions speak louder than words. Actions speak louder than words. President Abraham Lincoln. Abraham Lincoln said on April the 30th, 1863, "We have been the recipients of the choicest bounties of heaven. We have been preserved these many years in peace and prosperity. We have grown in numbers, wealth, and power, as no other nation has ever grown. But we have forgotten God, have forgotten the gracious hand which preserved us in peace and multiply and enrich and strengthen us. We have vainly imagined in the deceitfulness of our hearts that all these blessings were produced by some superior wisdom and virtue of our own. Intoxicated with unbroken senses, we have become too self-sufficient to feel the necessity of redeeming and reserving grace, too proud to pray to God that made us. It behooves us then to humble ourselves before the offended God or offended power, to profess our nation's sins, and to pray for clemency and forgiveness." That was Abraham Lincoln, April 30th, 1863. So why did I quote Abraham Lincoln? Well, because there is a tendency to forget God and friends when we have plenty, when we have abundance. We are reminded of that here in the book of Deuteronomy, Deuteronomy chapter 6. Deuteronomy chapter 6, and there's a couple of verses I want to read there together with you. Deuteronomy 6, verses 10. "And it shall be, when the Lord your God shall have brought you into the land which is he swore unto your fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give you great and goodly cities, which you built not, and houses full of all good things, which you have filled not, and wells dug, which you dug not, vineyards and olive trees, which you planted not, when you shall have eaten and be full, then beware lest you forget the Lord, which brought you forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage." You know, don't let the Laodicean attitude of independence, indifference, I should say, influence your life and cause you to sin against your Creator God by not having the proper outgoing concern of love one for another. We want our name in that book of life. We don't want to blank it out. We want it to be there, stay there. Paul inspires to tell us here in 1 Corinthians 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 25 to 27. Here in 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 25, "There should no schism," that is division in the body, "but that the members should have the same care one for another. And whether one member suffers, all members suffer with it. Or one member be honored, all members rejoice with it. And you are the body of Christ and the members in particular." That's why we ask prayer for one another when we're sick and ill, going through some trial, need some encouraging and some help. And those prayers God hears will be answered. He promised us that. You know, last May, the 20th, on the day of Pentecost, was a reminder of God's empowering us with His Holy Spirit to finish the responsibilities that God had given to us to do. And in Zechariah 4 and verse 6, it tells us, "It is by, not by, that is, our own might, nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord of hosts." That's why Pentecost is a very important holy day for us to read and to recognize where it began and where it's continuing on today. You know, Paul understood this verse here that I just read, wrote a letter to Timothy while he was a prisoner in Rome. Paul had heard many who had been called were departing from the faith, departing from being a Philadelphian to being a Laodicean. You know, false ministers teaching false doctrines, why most of us left the worldwide Church of God. They had gained footholds within the church, that attitude that they had, liberalizing it, taking away the conservatism that God teaches. But the great times of miracles and a powerful witness of the original disciples who were taught by Christ and the remarkable comments that grew out of the first love had all but disappeared. Where was the first love? It disappeared. Paul in 2 Timothy felt it necessary to admonish and to encourage Timothy by writing to him. And here in that letter in 2 Timothy 4, verses 2 through 5, 2 Timothy chapter 4, 2 through 5, "Preach the word, be instant in season and out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. But after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears." And verse 4 says, "And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables," false facts, untruths, lies. "But watch you in all things, endure affliction, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of your ministry." As ambassadors, we are ministries, ministering God's gospel, gospel truth, not to let it dry up, but let it be shouted very loud and clear, be taught, if it's even through our actions. You know, God is examining and testing us at this very end time, at this end age, you know, as well as blessing our efforts, that is to both hold on to the truth and to begin to once again bear fruit in the service of God. That's who we need to be, in the service of God, producing the fruits of His Holy Spirit. You know, the door is open for us to be even more productive and for the Church of God in truth to reach out to with the truth of God's Word. You know, among our various efforts here in our weekly letter, news dates, answering questions, producing a monthly magazine, bi-monthly magazine, sending out sermon CDs, holy days and weekly sermons on the remarkable tool of this internet page and the television conferencing. You know, God is allowing His work to move forward. That is each Sabbath and each annual holy day through the meeting together on the phone conference and living on live stream on the internet. What a blessing of that we have. It is truly a remarkable thing. You know, these are astounding and remarkable facilities that were not available to people of God just a few years ago, not that far back. We've lived through that. My wife and I have. You know, now we literally are able to assemble together in spite, not letting our widely separated location stop us. here we are on the phone or the internet, you hear my voice, and if you unmute it, I'd hear yours. In addition to reminding us of our role, that is, in the ongoing challenge and service to God, let each of us in no way diminish the importance God places on our individual shoulders. We are to carry the weight of God's truth. We need to fervently stir up the gift, that is the talent that God's Spirit has in us, to do individually what we have been gifted with. David gives us an example to follow here in Psalms 62 and verse 8. There he says, "Trust in him at all times, you people, pour out your heart before him." That's what I'm talking about through this sermon, what we need to be doing. Pouring out our heart before him and having love in our conscience, in our thinking, in our movements, in our actions. You know, God is a refugee for us, and focus must remain on those things yet to be accomplished, which God has given us to complete. Christ, as we read from the beginning, completed the work that God the Father gave him to do, and he passed it on to his disciples, and passed it on to us today. This is where God's Holy Spirit at Pentecost comes in. It didn't die out. You know, our opportunities are boundless. That is, if we stay close to God and always seeking to obey him and to do those things which are pleasing in his sight. Well, as I'm slowly running out of breath here, in closing, with all attentiveness, let us all heed Jude's striking words, which are found here in verses 20 and 21 in Jude. It says, "But you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God, keep for the emergency of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life." So with that, I've got just enough breath.